Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, by the grace of God, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus and on his merit. You know, if we had to come and say that we are, the Lord used us because we had less of a defective record than someone else, I've heard people say, you know, can the Lord use that person? He can't be a preacher. He can't be. No. Well, listen, do you not understand the goodness and the grace of God? It is because of God's grace that we are what we are. And the Lord tells us in his word, now in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So where sin is rampant and great and in much and great power ruling and reigning over people, then we need to understand that it's, again, how the Lord is using his power to cleanse the sinner and make the sinner fit for heaven. So the Lord is the one who makes us fit. It's not something that we will say, now, I finally earned enough and I'm now clean enough to come to the Lord. No, you'll never be clean enough in your own strength. Nothing you can do can wash away one sin from your record. Nothing you can do can make you holy in the sight of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You can give your body to be burned. You offer your body, your life for a sacrifice. And that still will not make you fit for heaven. You can make the ultimate sacrifice. Give your life in the saving of another person's soul, or soul, another person's body. And in the process of so doing, you yourself should die. That will not make you fit for heaven. That's not going to remove sin. That's not going to bring you into right standing with God. The only way that you are ever brought into right standing with God is to accept God's gift. To accept God's gift, God's grace in Jesus Christ, God's goodness shown in the work of Christ on the cross. You see, if you want to start looking at his life and try to figure out what sin was it that he did, then you'll have to come away from that truth knowing that he did no sin. He had no sin, but he suffered as a sinner, and the Lord is willing to accept you into the family of God if you will accept the righteousness of Christ as God imputes it unto you, and your sin is punished by Christ dying and paying for your sin. Again, I remind you that God sees the natural man as being so sinful, all men, every woman, God sees us the same outside of Christ, that he sees us so sinful, so vile, so corrupt, so wicked, so ungodly, and so hopeless until he had to give his son, his holy son, his righteous son, his only begotten son, to die in your place, that his anger at you, the sinner, at me, the sinner, might be satisfied. He didn't say, well, I have another offering for this person because they're not as bad as the one that's wallowing in his own vomit. No, he didn't have another offering for that person as opposed to the one that is got a very high standard of living, a very moral person who comes to the Lord and says, I don't sin as other men do. I tithe. I join the church. I give a portion of all that I possess. No, the Lord has one offering for you, and that's Christ. And if you reject the Lord Jesus, then you are rejecting God's salvation. I pray that you will accept Christ today. Father, I ask for your blessings upon this program today. I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God that will have boldness and power and make the message plain and clear for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, please take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, and we'll be looking in Genesis chapter 4 today. We have talked about how the Lord has recorded for us how he did things, and we have the story of Cain and Abel recorded for us in Genesis chapter 4. Now, after we look at this, we're going to look at some passages in the New Testament, in the Old and New and Old Testament, of what these have done and how the Lord viewed their deeds. Remember now, the Lord has recorded this, and Cain and Abel bring an offering. Cain, of course, being a tiller of the ground. And it's not that the Lord is saying that I have no regard for the dirt farmer. No, of course not. He is saying that he has shown them by his example. And I would believe that Adam and Eve have told their children. Now, we know of it. Don't you think that Adam and Eve told their children, Cain and Abel, of what had happened? We know of what happened in the garden. They were perfect parents. And I think that they would have trained their children the best that they could have. But remember, they were expelled from the garden after they had sinned. The scriptures tell us this, that in verse 22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." And the Lord doesn't want man to live in his sinful state forever, separated, forever alienated from God, without providing hope for man. And he has provided that hope for man in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, there are some who will reject this offer of God's hope in Christ. So the Lord said that man should eat and live forever in his sinful state. Sin is repugnant to God. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now, remember what had happened earlier. The Lord tells Adam, or had told Adam, verse 17, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it." He said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground." Now notice the trek that we have. We're on this one-way path, a one-way journey to the dirt. This body is moving toward the dirt. Now our soul will never be destroyed. But our body is going to go back to dust, and then the Lord is going to resurrect that. He'll raise that up. There will be two resurrections, the resurrection of the dead, and the dead in sin, and the resurrection of those who have died in the Lord. So he tells us here that a man is in this trek toward the dirt, to the dust from which he was taken. And he tells Adam this, that's, you're going back to the dust. You're going to return to the dust because you've sinned. Now, he doesn't find out, a man doesn't find out about this. This isn't brought into play, into place until after Adam had sinned. And then verse 22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has come as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and eat, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence man was taken. So he drove man out of the garden and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now this tree of life is going to come several other times in the scriptures. But the Lord right now didn't want Adam to eat of that tree of life in the sinful state in which man had plunged when he chose to act independently of the Lord. So Adam, the scriptures tell us, knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. So they have children after they left the garden. And I have gotten a man from the Lord. This is what she said. She again bare his brother Abel. Now, we do not know how many years elapsed between the time that these two were born. The scriptures don't say. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the choice the Lord doesn't designate, so the firstborn becomes a tiller of the ground. Now, we can look at this, and I brought it up in a previous message, is that Cain got his offering from the ground, which produced the covering that Adam and Eve used to cover themselves, which was insufficient, inadequate, when the Lord God came walking in the garden. They did not find peace. They still hid themselves among the trees which grew from the ground. And they did not have any satisfaction and in peace. They still hid. And when the Lord provides the covering, it seems that they now do, and they did have peace once again with the Lord. And once again, they're reconciled unto God. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, that's a logical offering that he could bring to the Lord, because that's where his work was. But again, he had made the choice that he would till the ground. And remember now, there's nothing sinful about tilling the ground. What did the Lord God place Adam in the garden to do? He was to labor in the garden. He was to till the ground. Wasn't anything wrong with him laboring to till the ground. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abel was one who offered his offering by faith unto the Lord. That in Hebrews 11:4, when Abel offered of the firstlings of his flock, it was with a view toward what he knew about God. Now, that's what faith is all about. What do you know about God? It doesn't depend on you. What do you know about the Lord? What has God taught you from his word? What have you learned from God's word about how you're to live? Hebrews 11:4, by faith. Now, this is what the scriptures say. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, there is a comparative word, a more excellent sacrifice. Cain offered his offering, and by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. Now, look at this again. When Adam and Eve made their covering for themselves, it was insufficient, inadequate, didn't work. The Lord had to offer something else. But when the Lord provided a covering for them, Cain got as close to doing things the way he could based upon what he knew about the Lord. And the Lord was pleased with that. Don't you want to do things like the Lord wants you to do? I pray that you do. I pray that you want to please him, want to serve him, and you want him to be pleased with you. That is what Abel did. He offered an offering unto the Lord like that which the Lord had used to cover the sins of his parents, Adam and Eve. Now, Abel brought of the his offering the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We'll have to stop at this point, and I pray that we will recognize by this that the Lord is concerned about what we offer to him. What have you offered? How do you offer? Father, we ask your blessings upon this message today for Jesus' sake. Amen. And do join us again for another program. I'm Willie Thompson.